Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Ayin Ches, and we're holding one line before the wide lines, where the Gemara begins, Shabbos Ikan Minel Mai. What about Shabbos, where Minel is permitted? What's the halacha? What's the Gemara Shaila? Gemara said yesterday on Ayin Zayin Omidays, we were talking about the Inyan of Rechitza. And we said that although you're not allowed to go and wash yourself or take a shower or take a bath or whatever on Yom Kippur, however, if you are, for instance, hoylech lahakpil pnei oviv or pnei rabbi, you can be oiver ad savori b'mayim. This was, I'm reading here from Ayin Zayin Omid Beis, and specifically from four lines into the wide lines, Tan Rabbanan, she doesn't have to worry about the fact that he is going to get wet by walking through the water, because he's not doing it for purposes of ta'anug, of oneg. The purpose that he's doing it is because he has to get to the other side of the water to be mekabel pnei rabbi. So that's all fine and dandy. Our question is, what about Shabbos? Shabbos, if you're wearing a minnow. Now, there's no rechitza shayla, obviously, the gabe Shabbos. The question, however, is the gabe the minnow. And that is, he's wearing shoes. What may happen is, as he's walking through the water, the shoes may get dislodged, and he may come to carry the shoes. Do I have such a chash that he's going to come? Lidei haitza'a. L'choyah, the same shayla should also apply to Yom Kippur. But you remember, a few days ago in the Gemara we had, that the Gemara said that Arman de Yomar holds that there is no din of Haitzah of the Eid of Yom Kippur, only Haitzah of the Eid of Shabbos. So presumably we're going according to that same Arman de Yomar, and we're asking, what happens if the shoes fall off? Should I have a gzeirah? Should I be goyzer? Don't go through the water, because you may carry your shoes. Omer Nechamia Chasid Ben Nesia, Anoch Hazitol Ab Amiv Rabasi, I personally witnessed that they went through. Ikub demai usually means a very large pond of water. For instance, after a heavy rain, you have a real heavy-duty large pond. They went through it, and they were wearing their shoes, and obviously they were not concerned about this potential gzeira. Says Yimar, Tenech Mino, okay, I can understand regular shoes. Sandal Maikalameimer. Sandal, says Rashi, are more loosely fitting, and so therefore is a much greater chance that they're going to fall off and that you're going to go and carry them. Omer Rav Nechumi Richumi, Ano Chazita LeRavina Di Ova Derech Malbush. He said, I saw Ravina that he also wore sandals. In other words, just like Rabbi Ravasi wore shoes, I saw Ravina wearing sandals, and he did not give any concern to the fact that they might fall off and he might carry. That was Ravina. Rav Ashi Omar Sandal Lechatchila Loi. If you did it already, Mamaila. But Lechatchila, one should not go with sandals because of the fact that these sandals are loose fitting and they may come off and you might come to carry them on Shabbos. So let's bear in mind that Ravina was the one that said that you can, and in fact he himself wore it, where Rav Ashi said, no, Lechatchila don't. Simor tells us a short story. Reish Galusa Ikla Hegronya Levei Rav Nosin. The Reish Galusa came to visit into the town of Hegronya, and he was staying, or he was visiting, by the house of Rav Nosin, or perhaps the Medrash of Rav Nosin. And there were big signs out that the Reish Galusa is going to give a shiur, or a drosha. Is Rafram, the Kul Rabban, and Osel Pirka. Rafram and all the other Rabbanan in town, they all came to listen to the drasha by Rav Nosson, the drasha of Reish Galusa. Ravina Loyasa. Ravina, however, did not come. Rafram was scared and concerned that the Reish Galusa is going to have a taina on Ravina, and he's going to be upset. Is Lamach on the next day, by Rafram, Lafuke Ravina Midatid Reish Galusa. He wanted to be able to appease the Reish Galusa, who he assumed would be upset because of the absence of Ravina, and so therefore he wanted to try to figure out some sort of pretext, some sort of excuse why Ravina didn't come. So he asked Ravina, "My time liyosam alapirka, can you tell me why you didn't come to the drasha?" "Omalei, have a koyv li karoy, because my feet were hurting me." So he said to me, "Boy, little Mesa Masami, if you'd have put on good, strong leather shoes, the Chari wouldn't have had a problem." He said, "No, you don't understand. Gabo di ara tekara hava mi boilach. I'm sorry. Gabo di ara tekara hava. It wasn't on the bottom of the foot, it was on top of the foot. And since when you put your shoes on, you tie them from the top, that tying would put undue pressure on the makkah, where it was bothering me, and therefore, I couldn't do it." See, why didn't you put on sandals, which are much more loose-fitting, and then you wouldn't have the problem? I think it was this large puddle, and I couldn't go through. So he told him, why not? Ravina, you could have worn them like you normally wear your sandals, go through the water, and everything would have been fine. Omalei, so Ravina said to Lisovala, Ma, Lahodi Om Ravashi. Didn't you hear what Ravashi said? Sandal Chatchil Loi, that Lichatchil, you should not wear sandals through an orchid de Demaya. And therefore, that's why I didn't wear it. So before we continue on, we finished with the story. And the obvious difficulty is, we just said a moment ago that Ravin himself was not concerned about wearing sandalim in the water because he himself did it. That's what we said a minute ago. It was Rav Ashi that said, "L'chatchil aloi." So now Ravina seems to be changing his mind. What's going on? Ravina is now soiser himself. So this is not my kasha. The Tosfos Yeshonim asked this kasha down below. Let's see which different Tosfos Yeshonim. There's a whole bunch of Tosfos Yeshonim over here. In my Gemara, it's about 10-12 lines into the middle wide lines, and it's in deep, bold font. Didn't you hear Ravashi said, we just said a moment ago that Ravina did go and wear sandalim through an orchid de Demaya, and he wasn't concerned. Says now the Tosfos Yeshonim, "B'shem hazeh ray lepirush Rebbe shirogel lefarish detrei Ravina hava." Says Tosfos Yeshonim that his Rebbe used to say that there were two Ravinas. Interesting, they should be back to back, one after the other. So one Ravina did wear the sandalim through the water on Shabbos and was not concerned, and the other Ravina said, "I am concerned." So that's pshat number one. Inami dechuya dochi leRavina avloi soyveke. Ravina, for whatever reason, we don't know why he didn't go to the drasha of the Reish Galusa, but he didn't want to cause machlokes. He didn't want there to be that the Reish Galusa should have tightness on him. So nedarke shalayim, he said, if you will, a small fib, and he said, "Don't you remember what Ravashi said? You're not allowed to walk through the chachila with the sandalim," and that's why he didn't wear them. Not because he really held that way, because of shalom bayis shalom in nedarke shalom, he said a small white lie. I mean, what he said is not, it is true. That's what Ravashi holds. Ravashi said it befeidish. So he didn't say anything wrong, Chalila. It's just that he personally didn't hold that way. Anyway, that's the Tupshotim of the Tosfos Yeshonim. There's a Sefer Siach Yitzchak on Masechtas Yuma, which says an easier teretz, and that is initially Ravina Take used to walk with sandalim under those circumstances. However, once he heard Ravashi said sandal chachalai, he changed his mind, and in fact he went over to the side of Ravashi, and forever now he no longer wears sandalim lechachal. Okay, so if you want to write turn of you to bar geroy grace. Also, leishav gabi tina b'yom kippur. Person is not allowed to sit down on mud on Yom Kippur. What's the problem with the mud? Because the mud we are assuming has in it moisture, has in it water. And as a result, by sitting on it, he's going to have, Rashi says, an oneg korev lirachitza. It's not going to be a full-fledged rachitza. If anything, once you have the mud on, you're going to have to probably wash it off. But the point is, as long as it's wet and moist, it does affect you or afford you a certain degree of wetness, of moisture, and therefore it's similar to or close to rachitza, and don't do it. On Rav Shimon Levi, ubatina mitpachas. It's dafka be that it's really wet. If it's, you know, dried out, then no problem. Just like you sit on a chair, you can go and sit on dried out clay or dried out mud. When we said that it's wet, it's not just that it's sufficiently wet that you become wet, but it's got to be wet enough that you can go and wet something else. In other words, the Gemara uses this expression in a number of places, that tefeach is one thing that you touch it. Take, for instance, sometimes during the summer, you take out a cold bottle of seltzer, juice, whatever, from the refrigerator, and sometimes you see that it sweats. And then you feel the sweating. It's enough to go and make your fingers wet. But after that, if you go and take your fingers and you try to make something else wet, there's very little moisture there. So tefeach amenas lefeach means there's so much sweat that not only your hand gets wet, but then if you transfer it to another hand, it also gets wet. So this has got to be, in other words, it's really still pretty, pretty wet to aser it. Otherwise, if it's just a little bit moist that you sit on it, and therefore maybe your pants will get a little wet, but then after that, when you sit with your pants and something else, nothing happens, then that's okay. Amr Yehuda, mutl etztanen bepeiris. You got to cool yourself off with peiris on Yom Kippur. Now, how would you go and take peiris? You go in your forehead or your face, it seems to be very warm, so you go and take a pri, and you put it against your face, and with that, you cool it off a little bit. So even though you're getting a little bit of ta'anug, however, it's not a ta'anug related to rechitza, and this is permissible. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda mitztanen bekarav. Yehuda used to go and take a gourd, and he would put it against his face. Rabbi mitztanen biyinuka, if he had a baby, where the baby's face or the baby's hand was cooler than his own, he would put the baby next to his face, next to his forehead, next to his hand, to cool off a drop. Rabbi mitztanen bekasa bekasva. Rabbi would go and hold in his hand a silver cup. So Omer Papa, Kasa de Kaspa, Mole Zosser. If the silver cup happens to be full, pretty much to the brim, then you shouldn't do that. Choser Shori. However, if it's only filled up, let's say, halfway, then that's okay. What's the difference between Mole and Choser? Very simply, Rashi explains that if you're going to hold the Kasa de Kaspa and it's Mole, all you need to do is, you know, accidentally shift the cup a drop in your hand, and it's going to pour over on the sides, and then you're going to have water or some other mashke go on your sides, and therefore it's going to be a form of rechitza. So if it's mole, don't do it. If it's chaser, then you don't have to worry. The bachra, if it's made out of earthenware, like kli cheres, which is very sweaty, then whether or not it's full or whether it's only partially full, don't hold it in your hand, because earthenware tends to sweat much more than other types of koises, other types of materials, and therefore that would be a form of rechitza, and don't allow it. Rapapa Omar, another girsah of Ashi Omar, kasa de kaspa, choser nami oser. Even if it happens to be only, let's say, half full with a silver kos, don't hold it in your hands on your kippur, mishum dim mizdarev. Rashi says mizdarev means that unfortunately, or fortunately, silver cups are slippery, they're very smooth, and therefore if you're not careful, it could spill over, and even if it's only partial contents, you don't have a full contents of water or mashke, but even part of it might spill off, and therefore don't do it. Zeira bar Choma ushpezichnin. Zeira bar Choma was an innkeeper, and in his inn, he had from time to time some of the very great rabbis. He had Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Rav Shuvan Levi, Udekulu, Rabbanan de Kisri. He had at times Rav Ami, Rav Asi, even many of the rabbis that lived in Kisri, as well as Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And the Gemara tells us a story now. The Zeir bar Choma have Omalei, Rav Yosef Berei, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. He told now the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Bar Arya, you the son of the lion, meaning he spoke about Rav Yeshua ben Levi with great, great respect, that he's the lion. You, Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the son of the lion, let me go and tell you one of the nice things that your father used to do. He had the equivalent of a handkerchief or a towel, every Yom Kiddush, and he used to go and soak it in water. After he soaked it, he would go and wring it out and squeeze it out to get out every last drop. Now everybody knows that when you go and squeeze out a wet towel or wet handkerchief, it won't be totally dry. There'll still be some wetness left behind. Well, the next day, he would go and take this somewhat damp cloth, and Mekaneach Ba Panim Bi'ad Ragel, he used to go wipe his hands and his face with it on Yom Kippur. Erev Tisha B'Av, on the other hand, Shoira Oisa B'Mayim, he would go and soak it in water, and it doesn't say anything about his squeezing or wringing it out, but rather, he just let it hang somewhere, and of course, as a result, overnight it dried, but it didn't dry as well as if you had squeezed it out. Well, the Mokhan, the next day, Mavir Gabiyanav, he would go and pass it over his eyes. Now, we're going to see something very similar now. Well, okay, let's see first, and we'll come back. V'chenki also Gabba Bar Meri Omar, he said similarly, he starts off the other way around. Be'erev Tisha B'Av, and Erev Tisha M'Ami Eloi Mitpachas, they would go and give him such a mitpachas, such a handkerchief or a towel, Shoy Oisamayim, he would put it and soak it in water, and he would put it underneath his head overnight like a pillow. And he would go and then wipe with it his face and his hands and his legs the next day on Tisha B'Av. Be'erim Kippurim, Medim Limitpachas, V'Shoy Oisamayim, Ba'Oisa Oisa Kimin, Kelim Negufim. Again, he would go and wring it out and make sure there was a little water as left, as little water left as possible. Well, the next day, Mavir Gabbayenu, we put it on top of his eyes. So now, the two stories seem to be basically the same. And what are the stories telling us? That on Erev Yom Kippur, as well as Erev Tisha B'Av, they soaked the towel in water. On Erev Yom Kippur, he would go and wring it out and squeeze out, but not on Erev Tisha B'Av. And then he would go and use it to wipe the next day. So now let's analyze this for a second. Why on Erev Yom Kippur did he make sure to go and squeeze it out, and he didn't do that on Erev Tisha B'Av? So we'll see in the Gemara in another line or two, the reason is because we are concerned about the din of Schita. Schita, as you know, is a tolda of dosh, of threshing, and you're not allowed to go and squeeze out a wet towel on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And that being the case, he made sure to go and squeeze it out on Erev Yom Kippur so that there would be very little water left, and by the next day, it would be so dried out, there would be nothing to squeeze. So that took away the Shaila of Schita. You don't have that same Shaila on Tisha B'Av because there is no Isser Melacha of Schita, and apparently, even without squeezing it out on Erev Tisha B'Av, just by letting it hang overnight, it was sufficiently dry that you don't have a question of potential rechitza. But it was still a drop moist, and you can use it for either the Enoch or the pun of the other Varakav. So that part is simple, but one should focus on the fact that there is a slight difference between what we said initially, that was that the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did, and what Rabbi ben Meri did. And the difference is that in connection with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it says that Erev Yom Kippur, he would squeeze it out, and the next day he used it to mekaneach panav, yodav, viraglav. Well, the Erev Tisha B'Av, he did not squeeze it out, and he was mavira the next day al gabe einav, which obviously is much less than panav, yodav, viraglav. And therefore some of the Forshim say that this is in fact a printing mistake. It should be the other way around. The Erev Yom Kippurim, since he squeezed out the towel from Erev Yom Kippur, there was virtually no water left by the time Yom Kippur morning came along, for very simple reason. Number one, he squeezed it out. Number two is sitting out there overnight, so by the time you had any moisture left, that would be enough perhaps to go and help you with the drop of mucus that you have in your eyes when you wake up in the morning. So it was only Mavir al-Gabi Enef. On Erev Tisha B'Av, since he didn't go and wring it out totally, he was able to go and use it on Tisha B'Av itself for Panav Yodav Raglav. In other words, on a mechanical, physical level, there was more water still left inside the towel, and so therefore, you could use it for Panav Yodav Raglav. And in fact, if you go to Rabbi Mameri, that is his girsa, because Rabbi Mameri says in Erev Tisha B'Av, they would go and soak the pachas in water, didn't wring it out, and the mocha the next day, he used a Panav Yodav Raglav, because there was more moisture left in the towel, so he could use it for Pan of Yad Barak. Erev Yom Kippur, where he went and would go and wring and squeeze out every last drop, by the time it came Yom Kippur morning, the total amount of moisture that was available was to be Mavira Al Gabe Enav. That's how Rashi learns the whole sugya. Rashi rather brings another girsa, or another pshat in the Gemara, not another girsa, another pshat, that not that on Erev Tisha B'Av or on Erev Yom Kippur he would be Shoyra Oysa B'Mayim, but rather what he would do is he would go and use it as his hand towel every time he washed. In other words, Erev Tisha B'Av, he washed his hands a few times, he would go and the towel now would be somewhat moist, and the next day he would then go and use it for purposes of wiping his either Einayim or Pan of Yad Barakat. So it wasn't a soaking situation, it was that the moisture from the previous day, that was still in the towel, and that's what he used the next day. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yanki Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Techlifa, Ipcha Amrislan. You should remember that when you taught us this shir of Yirmiyah Bar Techlifa, you switched it around. What did you switch around? You used to say that when it was Erev Tisha B'Av, he would go and squeeze out every last drop, while on Erev Yom Kippur, they left it moist without squeezing out the last drop. And therefore we used to ask to you, Akash, and we would say, Vosin mitzchita, Erev Yom Kippur, you have to be much more careful to go and squeeze out every last drop, so you don't have a schita issue on Yom Kippur, you don't have this issue on Tisha B'Av. This is what Rabbi Yaakov said to Rabbi Yirmiyah Techlifa, and he apparently accepted it, because the Gemara doesn't continue any further discussion on this point. So there is a fundamental difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av L'gabei, this custom of wringing out the towel in advance. Now first we're going to go off a little bit off a tangent, but we're going to come back shortly to the shaylus of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara tells us, the Nashma Techlifa, said the name of Amar Merbavua, B'mchana, Sholi es Sho'alu es Rebbe Lozar, they asked Rebbe Lozar, and Rashi says this is Rebbe Lozar ben Pedas, which of course is the Amoira and not the Tana. And what did they ask him? Zaka v'yeshev yeshiva, Tarech lito reshus lahate b'choyreis oi eina tzarech. We all know from Masechtas B'choyreis that when a person gets a b'chor behema tahoira, he has to go and give it to the kohen. And when the Beis Mikdash was standing, the kohen would bring it for a carbon. But if the Beis, in our times when the Beis Mikdash is not standing, you cannot bring it for a carbon. So what do you do with this bechor? What you have to do is, yira ad shiyastayev, you have to let it go and graze in the fields until it eventually gets a mum. And when it gets the mum, then you don't have to be poda it. All you have to do is you can go and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash as if it were chulin plus. Plus because there are certain dinim that's still attached to that bechor, but you no longer bring it for a carbon because it's a balmul. Now, any kohen that receives such a present of a bechor tam, typically the kohen says, thank you, but in parentheses he says, no thanks. Why no thanks? Because he's going to have to go and support this Bechor for the next week, month, year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, until and unless it gets a mum. And it's possible that this behemoth will never get a mum. He'll never be able to use it. So if you want, in business terms, they would call this a wasting asset. It's an asset that you have. Yes, I own this Bechor behemoth, Yishkoyach, Mazel Tov, but it doesn't do anything for you because you can't go and shecht it until it gets a mum, and it may never get a mum. Because of all of this concern, sometimes the kohanim were very makel. You can understand why they would be makel. And they would say, it looks like it has a scratch over there on the tail, on the nose, on the toes. That's probably a mum. We could probably use it already. So there was a concern that the kohanim might be extremely and extraordinarily makel because of this concern, that they would just hold on to this bechor forever. So, that's why they had special mumchim, special experts that were authorized. They got presumably a whole series of bechinois, and after they passed it, then they would have a t'udah that they could hang on their wall, yora yora yodin yodin en hilchois heter bechois. Okay, so the Gemara tells us now. Shaul is Rablazer. Zokim Yoshev Yeshiva. Now we don't mean stam any yeshiva. We told him that Zokim Yoshev Yeshiva says Rashi, Yeshivas Sanhedrin. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Tzorach Litu Rishus Lahatim Bechoyris Oyeinu Tzorach. Does he have to go to the Beis Hanossi, who are the ones that handed out these te'udot, these certificates, these authorizations to go and be Matim Bechoyris? Or doesn't he? After all, because he's been sitting on the Sanhedrin for the last few years, he must know his stuff, and therefore he doesn't need authority from anybody. He has his own inherent authority. So Zokim, I might come to Boilo. What was the Shaila that we're asking Rabbi Lazar? Hachi come to Boilo. L'chay the Shaila is simple. Ki hod yom rab idi. Varavin dog zehin yichu lehem. B'nei lebei. Nesiyah kedei lehizgader boi. The Beis Hanossi took upon themselves this inyan of the Hetem B'chayrois. Kedei lehizgader boi means that this would be part of their grandeur. The people would say about the Beis Hanossi, oh, you want to get ahead to Bechoyrois? The only way you can get it is from the Beis Hanossi. They have the monopoly on giving these certificates to be Matir Mumin by Bechoyrois. So therefore the Shaila is, since the Beis Hanossi has kept this as a monopoly for themselves, do you have to ask them? Because without asking their authorization, you're not authorized. He doesn't have to ask them. I need your permission. I know more than you, the Beis Hanossi. I've been sitting on the Sanhedrin now for years. That's the shaila that they were posing to Rabbi Lazar. Omer Reb Tzadik ben Chalukah al Ragla v'Omer. No. I will first pask in the shaila, and then the Gemara is going to disagree. Said Reb Tzadik, Ani Reisi Yisrael Yoisi ben Zimra. I said Reisi ben Zimra. And he was a Zakh v'Yeshu v'Shiva Hayim. And he was from an earlier generation, and so therefore he stood in front of the Zayda of today's Nasi, and he in fact asked him for Rishus Lahatim B'chayres. So therefore I'm a live eyewitness, says Reb Tzadik, that even though this great Reb Yosef ben Zimra, who was one of the Zakenim sitting on the Sanhedrin, that he would not be Matim B'chayres on his own. He went to the Beis Hanossi to go and get authority. So B'chayres, that's a convincing answer to our question. Says the Gemara, not so simple. Amalei Reb Abba, loikach hayamaisa. You left out a couple of details, and therefore, in fact, there's another way of understanding and interpreting that story. Loikach hayamaisa. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra Koyen Hoya, besides the fact that he was a Zakh of Yoshev B'Sanhedrin, he was also Koyen. And his Shaila to the Beis Hanossi was the following. And this halacha of Bechoyrois, of being Matir Bechor, the halacha is, if you're a Kohen and you have your own Bechor, everybody agrees, both Ramei and Shimon Gamliel, you cannot paskin on your own Bechor because you have a negia. You have a personal interest, a personal bias. Obviously you want to be able to go and be matir this Bechor, because otherwise you might hold on to it for another 20 years and not be able to use it. So therefore, if you paskin on your own Bechor that it's a Balmum, you are not believed. You have to show it to somebody else. Where's the machlokes? The machlokes is somebody else's. If I have my friend who's also a kohen and he has a bechor, can I go and be made? Can I go and be done on his behalf and say, yo, this is clearly a balmum or not? So you're wondering, what interest do I have in helping out my next door neighbor, the other kohen? Well, it's very simple. The Gemara calls it chayshinan shem gomlin. Gomlin means that this is going to be a mutual pact, a silent pact between us, that if you bring me your Bechor, I will try to find the most kula dikka position, the most lenient position possible. And of course, when I bring you my Bechor, I want you to do the same. So according to the mayor, you are totally unauthorized, disqualified from paskening hilchois heter mumin by a Bechor. That's according to Rameh. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no. You are Neman al-Shel Chaveira. So this is what Rav Yosi ben Zimra was asking. It could very well be that Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra held that since he is a zaken v'yoyv v'shoyshu b'shiva, he does not need the authorization from the Beis Hanasi. The reason why he was asking a shayla had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the question of the fact that he's a kohen, can he paskin for other kehanim? They were poishet. Yes, you can be poishet. You can be. You can be a poisik for hilchos mumin of lechor by your fellow kohen. So therefore, bottom line is, according to this new version, we have not been poishet to shaila whether a zaken v'yoyshe b'yeshiva, whether he is allowed to go and be matir b'chodes on his own, or does he first have to get authority from the Beis Hanasi. All of that is fascinating, but let's get back to our Gemara. And now they ask Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas another shayla. Ma'ulot is v'sandal shel sha'am. You all know that ne'ilas ha'sandal is one of the five inuyim. The question is, what happens if I don't wear my normal, regular shoe? I wear a shoe made out of sha'am. What is sha'am? Says Rashi at the top, min guma shekoyrin fine. Now what is min guma? Guma means it's a type of reeds, like you see in the marshes, you have reeds growing out. So apparently they were able to weave the reeds and make them into a clear, they braided the reeds in such a way that you had this type of inferior shoe. So the question is, can you wear that on Yom Kippur? That was the shayla they posed. Ma'olotzi b'sandla sholsham b'yom kippur. Omer Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, al ragla b'yomar, ani re'is Rav Shu ben Levi, ayis Rav Shu ben Levi. Shiyotzi b'sandla sholsham b'yom kippur, that in fact, he did wear such a sandal made out of reeds on Yom Kippur. V'aminalei, and I asked him, v'tanas tzibur, what would be the din by tanas tzibur? Now the tanas tzibur that we're referring to, says Rashi, means a tanas tzibur that they would go there on the tzibur because of ksham, meaning that there had been no rain for a number of weeks and months until the Chachamim decided we have to be gozer a tanis on kshamim, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu will listen to our tanis and to our tefillahs and will bring rain. So I told him, I asked him, what happens in that type of tanis tzibur where there too is halacha of inui in the sense that you're not allowed to go and wear the ilas of sandal, in other wear shoes, can you wear a sandal shasham on that day? Now, all of our tanais and tziburim throughout the year, as we know, you are allowed to wear regular shoes, and so therefore this halacha would only apply to Tisha B'Av, which we're going to have in another 3 weeks. Hopefully we won't have in 3 weeks. Hopefully it will be a Yom Simcha V'Sasayim. But assuming Chas V'Sholom it's going to be a fast day, and we're not allowed to go and wear shoes, can you wear a sandal shasham on the Tana Tzibur? Omalei Loishnai says no difference. No difference between Yom Kippur and between Tisha B'Av and other Tanis Tzibur such as that on Gisham. And now the Gemara repeats the story but in reverse. Om Rav Bachana Ani Reisias Rav Lozer Demin Ninvei Shiyotz Rav Sandal Shosham B'Tanis Tzibur. He was wearing such a Sandal Shosham of reeds on Tanis Tzibur like Tisha B'Av. V'Aminalei V'Yom Kippurimai. What do you say about Yom Kippur? Omalei Loishnai, no difference. So bottom line, both stories, it makes the difference between Yom Kippur and between Tisha B'Av or Tanis Tzibur for Gshamim. Same halacha applies, you're allowed to wear sandal shel sha'am. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, Rav Yehuda Nofik Bide Hitni. Rav Yehuda would walk out with shoes of Hitni. Rashi says Hitni are similar to, it's a min sham, it's another type of reeds. Well, Abaye Nofik Bide Hutzi. Rashi says Hutzi means sandal shel kapis tamarim, a sandal that we made out of kapis tamar, those are leaves such as those from a lulav. In other words, you're all familiar with the kosher kloch, they call them, on the outside of the lulav that you put in hadassim and arovais, which are nicely braided and woven into that kosher kloch. So you can do the same thing and make a shoe out of it. So that type of shoe made out of such material is permissible. Rav Novik Bedivli, Rashi said Bedivli means shalasovim, means made out of some sort of grass, again woven together in some way, or braided together into form of a shoe, and this is permissible. Rabbi Rav Huna, Korech Sudra Akari Venofik. He would go and take a handkerchief, or he would take a shawl of some sort of scarf, and he would tie it around, bandage it around his foot, and he would wear that on his foot. In other words, similar to wearing socks on your feet. So he didn't wear shoes, but he wore some cloth material over his feet, and that's the way he walked on Yom Kippur or on the Tanis Tzibur. Somebody's asking a question. Yeah, I'm not sure it means the same Ninveh that we're thinking of in the times of Yoina, but certainly it could be. Thanks for pointing that out. So Moshe Rami Bar Chama Hakitei Yoytz V'Kav Shaloi Diver Rameyev Reb Yosi Oyser. The machlokes that we have over here is Legabi Hilchis Shabbos. You have a Kitea. Kitea is Chas Hashom, a person who is Nevach, an amputee that is missing part of his leg. Yoytz V'Kav Shaloi, he's allowed to go and wear that prosthetic device, which in the good old days wasn't a very sophisticated thing. It was just basically a block of wood which was attached to the remainder of his leg. They had some way of tying it one on top of the other, and that's how the person would walk on a regular day. The question is, can you walk like that on Shabbos? What's the shaila of Shabbos? Same shaila we had before about wearing the shoes under the water. What happens if the amputee, unfortunately, the block of wood falls to the ground and he cannot properly tie it back on? He might come to go and carry it. So, machloikis. The mayor says, no, you don't have to worry about that. He can be yoyz v'kaf shaloi. Rabbi Yosi Oyser, he is concerned that he might carry it on Shabbos. But Tony Allah, but everybody agrees, v'shomit she'osa lotzis by b'yom kippurim. You're certainly not allowed to go and wear it on Yom Kippur. Now, l'choyra, this kav shaloi is certainly not a proper shoe. Nobody would call this block of wood that he puts on the bottom of the hump of his leg, nobody would say, ah, this is a shoe. And nevertheless, everybody agrees you're not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur. So the Choyer and none of those other things are shoes, and you shouldn't be allowed to wear them on Yom Kippur either. So why are you allowed to wear of the reeds and of the lulav fronds, lulav leaves, etc.? The Choyer should all be awesome. Omar Abaye says, you know why it's ushered by the kav? Because it's not just a plain block of wood. Hasan is the kesisin umishim tanug. Because this block of wood is at the end of the stump. I said before hump, I meant stump of his leg. So the stump is going to hit into the wood, and it can get bruised and it can get infected. So they would put in kesisin. They would put in some nice cloth to act as an insulator, as a bumper, if you will, against the hardness of this kav. And that's the way it's awesome, because it's tanug. It's not just walking with shoes is the concern. He's having a good time, that it's nice and soft and cuddly. That's the problem. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, hey, come on, that doesn't sound right. Vilav, monahu, ksisa mishavale mona. If you're telling me that it itself is not a shoe, because it's like the shoe made out of sham and made out of reeds and made out of the kapis tamarim, it's not a shoe. The reason why it's osur on Yom Kippur is not because it's a shoe, but because you put in the stuffing in it, you put the ksisin, that makes it into a shoe. Can you convert a non-shoe, a block of wood, into a shoe by adding some material? That doesn't sound right. V'yoyt, kotanik v'la minolhu, b'yom kippurim mi'osur. You know, we have enough Inuyim on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. We have the five Inuyim, you can't have Rechitza and Tzicha and Yusa Sandal, etc. So, but it's only those things. It doesn't say anything about any other type of tanik. What happens if it's a hot day and you have the air conditioner on? Ah, Baruch Hashem, Amachaya. Would you say you have to turn the air conditioner off? You have to call a goy, turn it off? No, of course not. The only tanik that we're talking about is a tanik that is related to one of the Inuyim. So the fact that there happened to be this cuddly material that is Baruch Hashem acting as a softener, as a nice insulator for purposes of the stump of his leg, that's not osur. So Baitzer, what's the problem? And furthermore, Rabbi Barafuna, we quoted before, have a korach sudra akari v'nafik. He did put such a material around his foot, and he would walk around with it. So presumably, that sudra was probably made out of a nice material. Right? So it was like a thick towel, a thick cloth, and that also afforded him a certain degree of comfort. Would you say that's osur? But you see that it's mutter. But oh, you're going to have another kasha. Meditani Seifer. We haven't finished the Mishnah or the Brice that we're quoting above about the machloikis on Shabbos and kuli alma moide that on Yom Kippur that it's aser. But continue on. Meditani seif, it's in the seif of that same brisa. And yesh loy beis kimbel ksisin tomei, if the kav had an indentation in it to allow the stump to fit into that indentation, and in that indentation they put in some stuffing, then not only do you have Shabbos issues and Yom Kippurim issues, you have Tumah issues. What are the Tumah issues? Because of the fact that since you've carved it out, it has now a base kibble. Until now, if it was a flat piece of block of wood, that's Pshutikli Eitz. Pshutikli Eitz is not Mekabel Tumah. However, if it has a base kibble, no, even Kli Eitz, if it has a base kibble, then it's Mekabel Tumah. That's what he's saying. If the base kibble, Ksisin Tumah. So since the Sefer introduces the case of the Ksisin, we didn't talk about that until now, is Mechal Duresh Labadis like Ksisin Askinah. So must be the Duresh is not talking about Ksisin. And nevertheless, Kuli Alma Moida, that it's also to go and wear that on Yom Kippur. L'chayr, everybody would agree, it does not have the status of a shul, because after all, it's a block of wood. And here we're talking about it didn't even have an indentation, a carve-out. And it didn't have Ksisin. But nevertheless, it's called, you're not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur. So l'chayr, all of those makeshift shoes that we spoke about, made out of reeds, made out of lulav leaves, should also be asur. No. Since, unfortunately, amputee cannot wear normal shoes, the only shoe that he can wear is this black. So, unfortunately, this is his shoe. Therefore, he's not allowed to go and wear it, according to everybody, on Yom Kippur. So what's the machleik on Shabbos? Marisa, because we didn't deal with Mishtamid, the author of Suya Dalit Amis. One holds that even though this is a full-fledged shoe, but nevertheless, it might fall off and he might carry it. Marisa, because we didn't, we are not koisim. So that's all the Gabi the Kav, because it's considered to be a shoe. But all those other things are not considered to be shoes, and that's why you're allowed to wear them, after all, on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. Tanavan. When you have young children, infants, you're allowed to have them do everything on Yom Kippur. They can eat and drink, they can go and take showers, they can shmir. The only thing they should not do is put on shoes. They should go and wear something else. Why is Nigla Sandal Manishtana? So the reason is the Amr Inchi, because people are going to say, Avdulei Hanoch. Or Ovdulei. They're going to say that a Godoil put the shoes on the cotton. After all, young infants, young children, they can't put shoes on their own. The Godoil has to do it. And we know that a Godoil is not supposed to go and allow Kitanim to do an Isur. So if you look at the Rashi, almost halfway down the Omen on the left hand side, Inchi Avdulei, the shoes, someone did it for them. Gedoilim Asulei. Gedolim means, of course, adults. V'atayr is here, gedolim alek tanan. Shlo yasa lehem b'yadayim, dover asur. We have a pasuk, which we're going to see in another moment, that a gadol, not only is he not allowed to, chas v'sholem, perform an isur, but he's not allowed to go and help a cotton do an isur. Kinnam when you made Mesech Zivavis, says in the pasuk, loy soichlum, and the Gemara darshins, loy sa'achilum. So the Gemara feels that the same thing should apply to Yom Kippur. Don't go and help out the Ktanim with an Ilas Asandal, and people are going to go and say, how are these children wearing the shoes? It must be that their fathers, mothers, older brothers help them out, older sisters help them out, and they're all Gdoilim. And therefore, people say they're being over on Lo Yisoichlam. You can't go and help out a cotton do an Isur. So for Gemara, if that's the case, then the same thing applies with if they're going to come into shul and people will see that they're nice and clean. After all, we know tinoikas usually get dirty and their skin is rough and full of dirt and this and that. And if they happen to be nicely cleaned and pressed, yeah, then who did it for them? They can't take showers and baths on their own. It must be their mummies did it for them. So people say the same thing. Says he, no. Eimim mi esmol avdilei. If they come in nice and shining on Yom Kippur morning, they'll say it's because they got a nice, good shower, a good bath, and they were smeared well with all types of baby oil from Erev Yontif, and that's why even Yontif morning they still look so clean. Just wait until the end of Yom Kippur, you'll see how dirty they get in playing in the sand and running around and all the rest. But at this time, the reason why they're so clean, not that it was done on Yom Kippur, it was done from the day before. Why don't you say that they're still wearing the sandals from the previous day? And they went to sleep wearing their sandals. So it's more sandal yafsha. No, that's impossible. It cannot be that they wore it from the day before and they slept in their sandals. The Yom Shmuel, Haiman the boy, the mitten, Taima the misusa, Lisai misame velini. Shmuel said that a person who wants to get a feel for what it feels like after 120 when a person passes away, he should go and wear his shoes and sleep with his shoes on. That's the feel of Chas V'Shalom Misa. So therefore, no mother or no father was going to allow their children to go and wear shoes or sandals overnight, knowing about this terrible premonition, what the terrible declaration of Shmuel. Freit Yimura, Vomutar Mechad Chalek Tani. I still don't understand the pshat. You're saying Tinoikis Mutarin Vekulan Chutzmin Ilas Asam. Now Mutarin, says Rashi, means that you can go and ask a shayla to a Rav and say, Rav, I have a Tinik who's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. He's certainly not bar mitzvah yet. Okay, no, everybody knows that, of course, they can eat and they can drink. That's not a shayla. The question is, can I allow them to take a bath? Can I allow them to go and shmir themselves? And it says in the Braisa, yes, mutarit. So mutarit means that you can even ask a shayla on Yom Kippur, and the answer is yes, you're allowed to. Mutar lechatchilat tani. Hi, people are going to go and say, oh, if you gave a rechitz and sicha on Yom Kippur, well, you're allowed to. So the ilas asavla is also you're allowed to. Ma nishtana rechitz and sicha, where if you ask a shayla, they'll say mutarim, mutalach, yes, you're allowed to go and wash him on Yom Kippur, but if you ask a shayla, can I put on shoes? No, shoes nish. No, don't put on shoes. You're not allowed to. What difference does it make? So tomorrow, a brand new text. Lahanach, the lav ribisayu gozbur abonim. Hadar ribisayu le gozbur abonim. Those things that you need to go and allow for this child to grow his normal daily growth, those things you're allowed to go and do on Yom Kippur. Those things which you don't need for his growth, then you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. So every child needs to be washed and needs to be scrubbed and needs to be oiled, because otherwise they're not going to grow properly. Mashenken, if they don't wear shoes for one day, that's not the end of the world. Kids can run around without shoes. How do I know all of this? Says Yomar Abaya. Omrli em. Abaya said that my mother taught me. And everybody knows when you see the words, my mother taught me by Abaya, it doesn't really mean his mother, because Abaya, unfortunately, was a yosim from both sides. When his mother was pregnant, his father passed away, and when his mother was in labor, or shortly thereafter, his mother passed away. So Abaya was a yosim from very, very early on. And whenever you see in the Gemara, Amli Em, it means the woman that raised him, in the form of a foster mother, a stepmother. And the father in the family was Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, who was his uncle. Anyway, so it says about Abaya, Omeli Em, my mother taught me, again, not the real mother, Rabisa Dinyuka, my Chamimi, Umashcha. The way that you go and raise small tinoikis, small infants, is by using my Chamimi, constantly washing them, bathing them with warm water, Umashcha, and being Moshech, like Shemana Mishcha, going and smearing on them baby oil. God reports that once they get older, how do we want them to grow? Be'yasa b'kutcha. We feed them be'ya, an egg. B'kutcha, a kutcha is a milch gedip, something similar to a milch yogurt that we have today. And so that's the way to go and have them grow. That would be their daily breakfast, for instance. Give them an egg and give them some kutcha, some yogurt, or something similar. God reports as they're getting even older, as part of raising the children, what you have to do is tivuri mani. Go and give them broken kelim, broken vessels. Ki hodirabe zaman lehu mani gezizi, the pachra, libenei umitbrilu. Meaning, as part of a child's normal growth, you have to allow him to go and do some physical sports, something or other, to make him feel like number one for exercise, and number two for his own self-esteem. So Rashi says Taburi Mani, it's Rashi, it's about halfway down the Omud. It's more down the Rashi, it's about two-thirds down the Rashi, but it's halfway down the Omud of the Gemara. Taburi Mani says Rashi, the Hafkir Loi Kalim, Uli Shaber, Lishbar, Uli Malis Tavasai. Every child has to do something. Everybody talks about the terrible twos. When a child is only 2 years old, he or she has to open up every single cabinet, every single drawer. Okay, this child is already older and has gotten through that stage in life of opening up all the drawers, but a child from time to time, he desires to accomplish something, to do something, so he's going to play with Caleb, he's going to break. And Rabba would go and buy Mani Gzizi de Pachra, Caleb Sedukim Shel Cheres Bedam Kalim. In other words, he bought second-hand, third-hand Caleb, which already had holes or cracks in them, Bedam Kalim, for pennies, and he would give it to his children. Could very well be the reason why the Gemara tells us about Rabba doing this, because we said before that Rabba was the one that raised Abaya. So it could be that the lady, the foster mother of Abaya, learned from Rabba, or Rabba learned from her, that this is what you do to raise Kindlach. You have to go and give them these broken kalim so that they can play with it, and of course make sure it's not broken in a way that it's very sharp and Chas V'Shalom could cause a wound. But you get the idea. Okay, there was a yeshiva years ago, a Hasidic yeshiva, where they were raising funds for building a backyard where they were going to have a basketball court or something like that. And a couple of balabatim said, Hasidic yeshiva, why do they need a basketball court for the kids? Well, what's going on over here? We're not modern kids. What's all this? So the manal said, come in and let me show you something. And he brought him in and he showed him one of the hallways where there were holes in the sheetrock in the walls of the hallway. And he said to the balabatim, who made these holes? Some of our kids, some of our chassidish kinnulach. So he's saying to yourself, you should punish them. They say, well, why are they making holes? He says, you don't understand. For the normal development of children, you have to give them some free space. They have to be able to go and run around and stretch their limbs and come and go. And that's the reason why it's so necessary to go and have a backyard, to go and have a place to go and play some ball. Because otherwise, they will just be so, their natural energy will be such that by definition, from time to time, they're going to go and punch walls. Better punching walls than punching other children, Chas V'Shalom. So, all children of every type and every stripe and from every background and from every community, they have to have a place to go and, I wouldn't say to vent, that would be more for adults, but to be able to stretch their limbs and be able to do something and buy them broken kalim so they can break it even more. Okay, right. Now back in our Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is already a few blad ago, back on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, and we had a machloikis in the Mishnah. If you go Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, smack in the middle of the Amid, the brand new Perek, brand new Mishnah, second line. A king and a kala are allowed to wash their faces on Yom Kippur. And a woman that just gave birth, she's a mommy that's a nursing mommy. She can go and wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Timir Ablesa. The Chumais and the Chum say, no, it's prohibited. So I have a machloi between Ablesa and the Chum. Now, it's not crystal clear on its face whether the Chachamim are only disagreeing with the Chaya Ne'ilas HaSandal case, or whether they're also arguing on the Reisha about the Melech Vekala Yirchatu Es Pneim case. We know for sure that the Mishnah says HaMelech Vekala Yirchatu Es Pneim. We know that Rebbe Lezer says HaChaya Tinilas HaSandal. Did Rebbe Lezer also say HaMelech Vekala Yirchatu Es Pneim, and this is a Das Yochid, and the Chacham Oysim goes on both cases? Or maybe Hamelech v'Hakala Yichutu Es Paneim, that's universal, that's unanimous. And there's only a machloikas that gabe the chaya with the sandal. And that's what the Gemara deals with now. The Gemara doesn't expressly address this, but you'll see that it gets addressed automatically. Hamelech v'Hakala Yichutu Es Paneim, Asisim Mani, Reb Chanan, Yibin Natrajin, he, when we're quoting in the name of Reb Lezer, the kulois in the Mishnah, both about the melech and the kala, and about the Chaya, it's not Reb Elezer on its own, it's Reb Hananya ben Trajan in the name of Reb Elezer, the Sanya. We have a Braisa, which is similar to the Mishnah, and the Braisa is HaMelech Ve'akala, lo yirchetzu es p'neim. Oh, so directly the opposite of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said HaMelech Ve'akala, yirchetzu es p'neim, they say, lo yirchetzu es p'neim, which of course is consistent with the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Now that we see this Braisa, the Chachamim obviously are disagreeing with not only the Chaya case, but also the Melech and the Kala case. Reb Chaim ben Trajan, I mean, Reb Lazer, no, HaMelech v'Kala yirchetzu es p'neim. They are allowed to wash their faces. Again, Achai lo tinnas a sandal, Chai should not wear sandal. Reb Chaim ben Trajan, I mean, Reb Lazer, Chai tinnas a sandal. So bottom line is, we can see crystal clearly that the machloikas of our Mishnah were assuming that the Tanakama of this Braisa is the same as the Chum of our Mishnah, and therefore the Chacham disagreed both on the Hilchos Melech V'Kala and the case of the Chaya, while Reb Lezer, as quoted by Reb Hanani ben Tradio, he says in all three cases, Melech, Kala, and Chaya, it's Mutalach, no problem. Now the Gemara analyzes what's the reason. Melech, my time, what's the reason for Melech? Melech Mishum Dechsev, Melech B'Yofyoy Techazeno Einecha. The Pasuk says when you see the Melech, since he's royalty, and of course he symbolizes the nation, he's the king of the nation, so therefore he always has to look handsome and beautiful. You cannot allow that in Yom Kippur that he should go around with a dirty face or dirty hands or whatever. Kala my time because from Tiskana Bala. Kala just got married. We don't want her Bala to be her husband to feel repelled by the sight of his Kala. Okay. How long is a kala called a kala? This halacha is unfortunately gabi an ovel, avela, who lost her father, and so therefore normally you would not allow a person the first 30 days to take proper showers or baths because they're avelus the 30 days. The kala we allow, and when we say tachshitin lav dafka jewelry, remember you had a couple of days ago in the Gemara that tachshitin came down with the mon, and the Gemara said because it said in the pasuk, "Idochu v'amedoicha." So Rashi says, "Idochu v'amedoicha," because we're talking about perfume, we're not talking about jewelry. So therefore, the kala is allowed to wear perfume for the 30 days, even though she's never avelus. And here too, on Yom Kippur, she's allowed to smear herself with some perfume, even though it's Yom Kippur because she's a kala. Finally, hachayit timlas asandal. Why? Mishum tina. We have a mommy who's nursing, just gave birth. We don't want her chas v'shalom to catch cold and get pneumonia and bronchitis and infections, blah blah blah. So she's allowed to go and wear shoes, so she shouldn't catch cold. On Mishmul in Machmas Sakonis Akrav, if you live in a community where there's chas v'shalom scorpions and scorpions chas v'shalom might sting, then talocha is mutter. Everybody's allowed to wear shoes. Rashi says on the bottom, mutter kol adam limal, not just the chai, but anybody, because it's a sakonis nefashis. An akrab is a dangerous species if it goes and stings you, so therefore, you're allowed to wear shoes. And that's where we stop. Mitzvah to be continued tomorrow. And now we're going to return to the question of Brother Shai that he asked earlier.